We are in Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall.
St. Paul is starting like this. He said, I would like you to know the history of your forefathers. And he's telling why we want to know this history, because we have some lesson to learn from them. Many people will not be understanding what Paul is saying here. They will say, what kind of baptism he is talking about? But the baptism means immerse. So now he is saying, let me tell you what happened to your forefathers. While they were coming and they were passing the Red Sea, the cloud came over them. So when you have the rain coming, the thick cloud comes, and you know that cloud is full of water. So the water over their head, water all around them, and they went through the water. So he says, cloud and the sea. So cloud and sea, they went through, and so all around the water all over. So what he is trying to say, that was the baptism. He says, and we're all baptized unto Moses. Now see, you have to remember this. Moses never told them that you baptized by me. Moses never said this is a baptism. Then how this Paul came to know? Paul came to know by the Spirit of God. Now here the Word of God is saying they were all baptized in Moses. And many people have many problems about water baptism. John was baptizing people in Jordan, and his baptism was called the baptism of John. Even though he never told anybody, I am baptizing in my name, and this baptism you should be calling the baptism of John. He never said it. Moses never said it. The same way, the Noah saved his whole family in the ark. And at that time, the ark was in the water, water pouring from the sky. The fountains of the earth were open, and the water coming from the bottom, water coming all over, that you read in 1 Peter. But what I'm trying to say here, that baptism also was in Noah, 8 people were baptized. So point I'm making, many people are saying that when the people were baptized in the time of the day of Pentecost, Peter baptized people and 3,000 people were saved and baptized. And that time, Peter did not say, I am baptizing you in Jesus' name. But if you read in the book of Acts, everywhere is mentioned in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord, or into the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And there is another denomination came and they said, if all the people were baptized in Jesus' name, then we will call our church Jesus only church. And they start baptizing people in the name of Jesus. But they forgot. Jesus Christ gave the last commandment in Matthew chapter 28. And if you start reading from verse 19 or so.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Now, if you read this scripture, it's very clear. It says, go and teach and preach and make them my disciples. And when you're baptizing them, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. When this commandment was given, this commandment, you cannot change it. Because he says, this I have commanded you. This is the last commandment Jesus Christ gave before he went to heaven. And now if somebody started a new baptism, baptism in Jesus' name only, and giving the all the book of Acts scriptures, I have a message for them. Moses did not baptize anybody, but the people came through the sea, and it says they were baptized in Moses. John did not baptize anybody in his name, and they said this is the John's baptism. Now, Jesus never baptized anybody, but go to the St. John chapter 4 and maybe verse 1 and 2.
When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John.
Now, what he's trying to say, Jesus baptized more disciples than John. Now, who was saying this? His enemy was saying. Why? Because so many people were following John the Baptist, and now they start following Jesus Christ. And many people became followers of Jesus Christ. Now the John the Baptist is baptizing there. They call the baptism of John. Now here the people coming to Jesus, and people are saying Jesus was baptizing them. Read the verse too.
So Jesus himself baptized not.
Here is clear, Jesus never baptized anybody, but his disciples baptized. So now, even the John baptized here, Jesus' disciple baptized here, but it was not called the baptism of Jesus at that time, it was called the baptism of John. And the baptism of John is famous for what? Repentance. So they say baptism of John was called the baptism of repentance. Same thing disciples were doing. What they were doing? Baptizing them when they repent of their sins. Okay, now this baptism was good enough until the new commandment was given. The new commandment was not given until Jesus Christ came out of the grave. When he came out of the grave, then he is going to heaven, and now he's saying, I'm going to give you new commandment. And he gave the love commandment, and now this commandment was this. Baptize them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Spirit. And he said, this is a command. Make them my disciples. Teach them. Now from this verse you will know, baptism is not for the babies. Why? You cannot teach the baby. You cannot tell the baby to believe Jesus Christ. You cannot tell the baby to repent. So here says repent, believe, and learn. And what? Follow Jesus Christ. When you say disciples, means you have to be followers of Christ. So Jesus gave the commandment, you go, teach, preach, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, why Jesus Christ did not tell the disciples this thing before when the John was baptizing? You know why? Because at that time they had some kind of blindness. Everybody means including disciples. He was telling them about the resurrection. They didn't believe. You remember, after Jesus was resurrected, everybody closed the door and they forgot his promises. Angel has to say, didn't Jesus say he will be rise again? So some of the things they forgot. So Jesus Christ wanted to renew their spirit. When Adam committed sin, the spiritual man was dead. So they were all spiritually dead. Then somebody will say, how did this disciple did the work when they were spiritually dead? They did it because Jesus Christ gave them the authority and temporary power. Go and preach. Do you know Jesus Christ called so many people? If you read the Matthew chapter 10, 12 people were selected. If you read the Luke chapter 10, 70 more were selected. Now how many people got together? 70 plus 12. How many?
82.
82 people were serving Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ was crucified, how many people were there? Even the 12 disciples were there, one betrayed Jesus Christ, and the 11 were there, and they ran away. But if you come and read the St. John chapter 6, Jesus was preaching and saying, if you want to be with me, you have to eat my flesh, you have to drink my blood. And then people start saying, oh, this is too hard saying. St. John chapter 6, and start reading from verse 60 at least.
Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it?
Okay, now who are these people? He says, many disciples. Many disciples, when they heard this, they start saying, this is hard saying. Not ordinary people. Disciples. Now who are these many disciples? They are the one in the book of Luke chapter 10, 70 were chosen. Those are the disciples start grumbling. And then what happened? Let's read. Or murmuring.
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him.
See, who they were. One betrayer, Judas, he knew. And there were other people, didn't believe, but followed Jesus Christ. And then somebody said they went two by two, they did miracles and things like that. But they were given temporary power and they used the name of Jesus. You remember there was a one man was doing miracles and John comes and says, Jesus, there is another person is doing some kind of miracles in your name. Shall we stop him? What Jesus says, no. Whoever is with us, he is not against us. And let him do whatever he is doing. So same way these 70 disciples came and followed Jesus. They were also sent two by two. They also did miracle, but they were offended. Read a little bit further.
And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked.
See now very clearly. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Went back where they came from. They said, we don't want to follow Jesus Christ anymore. And many of his disciples walked away. Let's read one following.
Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away?
Now see, now you know, the 70 are gone. 12 are remaining. Now he is telling these 12, Would you like to go like those people left? What Peter is saying.
Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal...
Peter says, where we should go? You have the words of eternal life. That time, Jesus Christ was not able to tell them, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they could not understand. Jesus Christ waited until they filled with the Holy Spirit. But commandment was given. When he came to the disciples, go to the St. John chapter 20. Many people making mistakes in this scripture. I want to make it clear. St. John chapter 20, start with verse maybe 20.
And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.
Now see what he's trying to say. Now he comes after the resurrection. The people are there, door closed and everything. Now he comes and says, peace be with you. And then he says, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. Now, they are sitting in one place. He said, I want you to go where I'm telling you to go. And then what is it?
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Now you go. You have a mission to do. I did what my Father said. Now I'm telling you to go and preach the word. And then he said, breathe on them and say, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now, this scripture, somebody took it. I don't want to tell the denomination name. This scripture, they took it and they said, hey, we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't want anything. Just we got it because Jesus came and breathed on us. We got the Holy Spirit. We don't want anything. But what did he say in the book of Luke? And start reading verse 47. 24, 47. Last chapter is 24.
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Now Jesus Christ is telling these people, similarly, he was telling them, breathe on them and say, now you go and preach. Here he is saying the same thing, but in different way. Okay, go ahead.
And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high.
Now, these same people, he came to the house, breathe on them, say, receive the Holy Spirit, go and preach. Did they go anywhere to preach? No. Thomas was not there. Thomas comes week later because they witnessed to Thomas. We saw Jesus. He came. He breathed on us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Thomas might be saying, I missed the Holy Spirit. I didn't get it. So next week he comes and sits there. He said, well, I'm not going to believe until I put my finger in his hand and I put my hand in his side. Then I'll believe. Jesus was not there when he was talking to those people. Week later, Jesus comes and first he said, Thomas, come here. Many preachers will tell you that Thomas did come, touch Jesus' hand and put his hand in his side. Thomas had no strength, no power to run to Jesus. He fell on his face, right there where he was. And what he said, my Lord and my God. What happened to Thomas? Thomas got saved. That's what it happened. Amen. What happened to these 11 disciples when Jesus breathed on them? They got saved, born again. So many people getting mixed up. They thought the disciples were born again before Jesus Christ was even risen. Without born again experience, how can they go and preach? They were not born again. You know how people get born again? You have to believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no new life. And the Word of God says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if any man or any woman be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation or new creature. And he says, behold, things or all things are passed away, behold, all things became new. Now when he says you are now new creation, that means that creation was not exist before. And many people are confused. You know what people are teaching you? You know what they're saying? Oh, we want to be like Adam, first Adam. He didn't commit sin. What a beautiful world was. So we want to be like him. What I'm trying to say, don't be like first Adam. If you be like first Adam, you will be committing sin and you will be dying. You will be having more problem. But if you want to know 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will be coming there, and start reading from verse 47 or so. Second Adam is Jesus. First Adam was created by dust and he was earthy. Second Adam came from heaven and he was spirit. He's spiritual. So you know, we don't want to go to the old Garden of Eden. We are going to go to new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem. Don't get mixed up on those teaching that I want to be like Adam and then we will be like a holy people. Adam was not perfect. If the Adam was perfect, then there won't be any test. You understand? If there is a test, that means you have to go to second grade. If there is no test, there is no improvement. There was a test and he failed in his test. The same test was given to Jesus Christ. You remember when the devil came to the Adam, even though he came to the lady, her name was Adam at that time. Genesis chapter 5 verse 2. It says, God created male and female and he called their name Adam. Even though she was alone talking to the devil or Satan, who was talking? Adam was talking. So Adam committed sin. So what I'm trying to say, when Adam committed sin and he failed, means they were not starving. But they're saying, this is a beautiful for my food. But when Jesus Christ was fasting, how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. That same old serpent comes to Jesus Christ and say, hey, are you the Son of God? Now here, Jesus was already baptized. The voice already came from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Satan heard it. All other people heard it. Jesus heard it. Now he comes to put the same doubt like he did it to the first Adam. He said, did God tell you to not to eat any fruits? They were not starving. They were eating. They were enjoying, right? But he put the doubt in their mind. Same way he said, are you the Son of God? If you are, then you could say to this stone, be bread. And it will be bread. Now just think, if Jesus would have said, oh, thank you, devil. You gave me a good idea. I was thinking about the same thing. What would have happened? He would have been slave to the devil. But what did he say? Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word comes out of the mouth of God, we will live. So Jesus Christ passed the test. I want to follow the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. So what happened? Once we received Jesus Christ, we became new creation. That was not exist, but we got a chance. And now this, what we have, that Adam didn't get it, old Adam didn't get it, Old Testament people didn't get it. We got more than anybody else. I'll prove it to you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 to 12.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
What glory God has given to us, the Old Testament prophet preached. They didn't preach for themselves. They preached for us. And what the blessings we got, even the angels are envy. They are looking to. Said, wow, wow, what the man got that we didn't get it. So what I'm trying to say, after the day of Pentecost, the disciple received the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, do not leave the city. Start preaching from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. That was the message. So once they received the Holy Spirit, see what Peter is saying? Peter said, hey, all these Old Testament people were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What they had, if you ask any other minister who doesn't know the Bible very well, you know what they will teach you? Moses, Elijah, John the Baptist, David, all they had the Holy Spirit. And if you ask, what Holy Spirit? Oh, same Holy Spirit they had, same Holy Spirit we have. Is that the way it is? No. You know what? All those people were preaching the gospel, what they had? They had the Spirit of Christ. Did any Moses say, hey, I have the Spirit of Christ? Did Elijah say, I have the Spirit of Christ? No. How Peter come to know? He says, by the Holy Spirit. When Peter got the Holy Spirit, he knew they received the Spirit of Christ. That's why Spirit of Christ means all the anointed one or the Christ or the Spirit of the Lord. That's what they got. You read the search all Old Testament. Not a single place they will say they received the third person of Trinity. They received the Spirit of Father or Spirit of the Lord. That's what they say. Okay, but for us, when we receive Jesus Christ, what we receive? Go ahead. St. John chapter 14, verse 23. I want to prove it to you. The New Testament church has much more than the Old Testament people.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
We will come unto him. To whom? Whoever believes in me and my Father. I will come and I will bring my Father with me. And what I'll do? I'll make a home in you. This Jesus said before he went to heaven. And so what happened? And the same Jesus said, I'll come, I'll bring my Father, and we will have home. But you don't leave this place. Now you believe in me, you believe in my Father, now wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. Now what they got? They got the Son, they got the Father, they got the Holy Spirit. Now their spiritual eyes open. Before that, Jesus Christ was not able to teach them, I have a Father, I'm His Son, and there is a third person, His Holy Spirit. The Israeli people will be so confused. Because they did not believe there is a Son, there is only God, one God. That's what they believe. And when he said, I'm the Son of God, they start saying, throw stone at him, kill him, because he's saying, I'm equal unto God. They didn't understand. But now by the Holy Spirit, we know. I don't have time to tell you. Read the first St. John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Book of Hebrews chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2, all these chapters you study, it proves to you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God Himself. And God says about His Son in the book of Hebrews, O God, O Lord. So what I'm trying to say, Jesus Christ is from the eternity. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and it's called Word of God. And the Word of God says, the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ is from the beginning. But Jesus was not able to teach those people. Hey, do you know I'm from the beginning? I'm called the Word of God. I'm also called the Son of God. And I created everything. Do you think Jewish people would have believed? No. That's why he waited until these disciples filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they can recognize Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then they will baptize. But now the group of people, I told you from the beginning, they say, oh, we don't believe in Father, we don't believe in Son, we don't believe in the Holy Spirit. What we believe? Jesus. Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Bible teaches us very clearly. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just I told you here, God the Father was from the beginning. What the Word of God says for the God the Father, Jesus Christ says, John chapter 4 verse 24, he says, God is what? It's spirit. God is spirit. Whoever wants to worship him with the spirit and truth. I mean, God is spirit. You cannot see the spirit with your eyes. When Jesus Christ came into this world, before he came, he was spirit. Because you cannot see the spirit. But he says, he was called the Word of God. So Word of God took the form of man and became flesh for us. And the Holy Spirit is always spirit. So in short, when this was written, he was saying, people were baptized in Moses, people will baptize in John, people were baptized in Noah, or people baptized in Jesus. Disciples start baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but the baptism was called the baptism of Jesus. Because they were lifting Jesus high, but they did not disobey commandment. Okay, now we've gone so far. Let's come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3.
And did all eat the same spiritual meat? Did they all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Verse 3 says, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. But meat is the bread. Read the Exodus chapter 16 verse 4. Now God says, I'm going to send the bread, pour the bread from heaven. That's what he was trying to say. That was spiritual bread.
Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no.
Now see, here is a meat, his spiritual meat, but actually meat is bread. He says, I'm going to pour the bread from heaven. And if you read in St. John chapter 6, Jesus Christ said the same thing. He said, your forefather ate the bread from heaven, but I am the real bread. So he says, God was testing them. I'm going to give this heavenly bread, manna. I want to see if these people listen to me and follow me. You have to read the whole chapter. We don't have time. But in short, what I'm trying to say, Jesus Christ was the real spiritual bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. Moses hit the rock and water came first time. And next time God said, just speak to the rock and water will come. Moses was so mad, he hit the rock twice and the water came. And God says, now you disobey me, you are not able to go to the promised land. So now here is saying, they got the drink from the spiritual rock. Rock supposed to stay in one place, right? But he said that rock was following them. See, he read that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. And that rock was Jesus. Jesus was following them wherever they went and watching over them. Okay, let's read verse 5.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Though all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
So all of these things he has written, what happened to the children of Israel? They came out of Egypt. God gave them the spiritual food. God gave them the spiritual drink. Christ was following them and helping them. Moses went to get the commandments. They ate, they drank, and start dancing, start doing all kinds of evil things, and say, we want God to go before us, and they start doing idol worship. And the word of God said, and 3,000 were killed by sword. He says, I'm telling these things, I'm giving this history, how these people lusted after their flesh and fleshful desire, and how these people destroyed in the wilderness. Now, what is the lessons for us? Do you know there is a denomination, I'm not giving name, there is a denomination telling you, once you are saved, saved forever, you never will be destroyed. He says, take this example. They ate the manna, spiritual food. They were baptized in Moses. And what happened? Many of them destroyed in the wilderness. So don't say somebody, oh, I'm baptized. I'm already taking communion. I'm okay. I can do anything. He said, no, this is for your example. So you should learn from this. If somebody, even though they are baptized, they are taken communion and they are following Christ, but if they go astray, they will be destroyed. Amen. That's what the lesson is here. Okay, verse 12.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, if somebody says, well, I'm living a good life, I'm living a clean life, I'm not going to fall, and that's called pride. The word of God says, pride comes before fall. We are living a life not by ourselves. We are living by grace of God. There is not a single man can come to me and say, I can live a holy life without Jesus Christ. I don't need him. There is none. Only Jesus can give you grace to live a clean and holy life. We cannot live a clean and holy life. Then how can we live? Just by grace. We come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm failing in this. I need your grace. And what the word of God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And what St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. We cannot do anything by our own. If he starts saying, I'm doing, he says, you're going to fall. Okay, verse 13.
There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Okay, now when you read this, some people take the excuse, God gave me temptation. I was okay, but God tempted me. God doesn't tempt you. This tempting means trial or testing. Trial and testing is different and tempting is different. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 13.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
This is temptation. This is not a trial. Temptation, man is tempted by his own will. Like you're looking at a girl, So that's the temptation. And say, thank you, Lord, how beautiful creation you made, and go by. But you say, I want to see that girl. I want to find where she goes. I want to follow her. I want to take her address. I want to see where she works. And I want to get her. And that's what people are doing it. And that's why people are killing each other. So here the word of God says, temptation starts in your eyes, in your mind. You keep on dwelling upon it. And then it produces death. That is not the temptation he is trying to tell in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. He says it's the trial of your faith, just like 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. It's trial of your faith makes you pure like gold. It's a trial. God sends the trial, but God does not send temptation. God doesn't say, I'm going to send a beautiful girl and see how pastor is going to react. That's what he was not saying. He will send me some kind of trial when I'm preaching the gospel and somebody says, don't preach, other, I'm going to kill you. That is my trial. So I have to make a choice. I want to get killed or I want to preach or I want to teach. Matthew chapter 10 verse 10, 28. It says, the man will only destroy your body, but God is able to what? Kill your body and your soul in hell. So fear him. So the temptation and testing is two different things.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Okay, now this is not a temptation. This is a trial. When you go through trial, you are not afraid of anybody because God is there to help you. Let's come back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13.
There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
When you're going through trial and temptation, you don't say, oh, why me, Lord? It's too hard. I cannot bear it. At that time, what he says? God is going to find a way for you. God is going to make it easy for you. At that time, when there's so much trials and temptation comes, what you do? Don't sit there and cry. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Now this is Jesus. He got trials and problems, but he was looking ahead. What was his joy? To win souls for God, redeem mankind, and bring joy of salvation to the whole world. That's what he was looking. And so read verse 3.
Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your mind.
Looking unto Jesus and said, Jesus, suffer all this for me. He didn't have to die. He died for me. He didn't have to suffer. He suffered for me. So why should I looking at me, oh, why me, why me? Look at Jesus. He didn't do anything. And he suffered for us. So he said, God will make a way for you. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14.
Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils.
1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 we read. We learn about the sacrifice of food given to the idols. Shall we eat that bread? Shall we not eat the bread? Shall I offend somebody? And these things like that. He said, no, I'm talking to you, a wise person. Unsaved people or heathen people are sacrificing to whom? He said, they're sacrificing to idols and they're not sacrificing to God but the devil. And they sacrifice to the devil and you tempted to eat food and you go with them and start eating. He said, you have to learn we are the body of Christ. Not like a one church member can go and do whatever he wants to do and that's okay. Everybody has to be concerned about the body of Christ. I do not want one member to get lost or one member to do anything wrong. We should be praying for each other, should be holding to each other together, because we do not want people to going astray. When you're taking the communion, he says, one body means we are all together. We should be considered, Jesus Christ is my body, and we are all together, one body. Okay, now what he's trying to say, now let me tell you, this Gentiles sacrifice, they're sacrificing to the idols, so you do not associate with them. Let's read from verse 21.
You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat. Ask me no question for conscience.
Before also he said, chapter 8 and chapter 9, if you're eating something in the temple, that's okay. But somebody says, don't you think this is given to the idol? And then for not to offending that person, don't eat anything offered to idols. But now in this chapter, he's making very clear what you're supposed to do. You are not only offending somebody for your conscience, but for other people's conscience. Now let's read a little bit further.
For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, ask ye no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience?
When you say conscience sake, now somebody says, I don't feel bad. I can go and eat the bread, even though this offered to idol or anything, because idol is nothing, that God is nothing, so I can eat. It doesn't bother me. He says, don't do it because it doesn't bother you. Don't do it because it bothers somebody else. So not only your conscience, but other person's conscience also you have to think. We should not be selfish. Think about others also, that you are offending others. Verse 30.
For if by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks?
Now somebody says, why should I be bothered because his conscience is bothering? I have freedom what I want to do. If I eat the bread offered to idols, or I go to the bazaar or shopping and somebody's Hindu person selling something, I can take and eat, and somebody said, oh, that was offered to Hindu God. So don't eat because you're offending him. He said, why should I worry about why he's offended? I'm not offending because I take the bread or take something, pray over it, thank God that God gave me food, and I just eat it because I'm eating for God. Then he said, I have a solution for you. Let's read a little bit further.
Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
If you're eating or you're drinking, do it all for the glory of God. This comes to your smoking cigar or drinking wine. I'm doing for the glory of God, then you do it. If your heart condemns you, it's not for the glory of God, then don't do it. Then he's making a little bit clear, a little further. Go ahead.
Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God.
Neither to the Jews, not to Gentiles, and not to church of God. That means, this covered all. Do not offend anyone. Period. You only think that you're doing everything in this world for the glory of God. And then everything settles. Let's read the following words.
Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
He says, I'm not doing for my profit. I want to win somebody to the Lord. You remember last week's chapter, he said, I became Jews for Jews, Gentiles for Gentiles, and I did everything to win them to Christ. He said, even as I please all men. Now, if you read Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, I'm not pleasing everybody. If I please everybody, I cannot be servant of God. Then why can't he say, I am pleasing people here? And in Galatians, he said, I don't please anybody. Please read that.
Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Now, see the difference here? If you pleasing somebody and going away from Christianity, or going away from Christ, that is bad. But if you're helping somebody to bring them to Christ, that's two different things. So he said, I am pleasing people to bring them to Christ. I am not pleasing people to offend Christ. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the Word of God. We are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We are not going to look left or right. We are going to do our journey looking at Jesus Christ. The only goal we have to please God and do all things for Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.